This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In this edition today, our bulletin of church news to be followed by Panorama and then our feature of Echo of the African Synod. Today we shall close with a segment dedicated to Millennium Appointment. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba.
Io vi confesso una cosa, A me preoccupa più dell'intelligenza artificiale, quella naturale.
Pope Francis on Monday morning said natural intelligence worries him more than artificial intelligence. The Holy Father said this in his remarks when he received the presidents of the Episcopal Commission for Communication and the directors of offices for social communication at the conclusion of the 24th to 26th celebrations of the Jubilee Year of Hope for Catholic Communicators. The encounter in Paul the Sixth Hope began around 7:30 a.m. on an unusually sunny winter day in Rome. Throughout his speech, Pope Francis wanted the managers of Catholic communication to understand the importance of 2 points in their communication work, together and network, and emphasized the fact that these two words should be the pillars of Catholic communication, together, or rather only by working together, the Holy Father explained, can we communicate the beauty we have encountered? Not because of our talent, he emphasized, or because we have more resources, but because we love one another. He said further that it is by belonging together that we draw the strength to love even our enemies, to embrace those who have done wrong, to unite what is divided, and to resist despair. He said, only this way can we sow hope, the hope that should be distinguished from optimism, because hope gives us a sense of direction and is at the center of communication, which he said is an art of love. This led him to the second point, network, and explained the fact that only an act of selfless love can produce networks of goodness. So he encouraged Catholic communicators to develop and build networks of goodness that, he said, should be regenerated and restored every day with patience and faith. Let us think of how much we could accomplish together thanks to the new tools of the digital era and to artificial intelligence if, instead of turning technology into an idol, we were more committed to networking.
I nostri uffici, le relazioni fra noi, la nostra rete sono proprio di una chiesa in uscita.
He then exhorted the Catholic communication managers to put natural intelligence, that he said, is something that must be developed at the service of communication, adding the fact that he wanted to admit that he is more worried about natural intelligence than by artificial intelligence. He missioned the communication managers to encourage others to look forward to a future that is not predetermined, but one written by each and every individual. Hope is not an illusion and never disappoints, he said. It is present here and now like a miracle that can be experienced by every person and by every culture.
Grazie, grazie tante per il vostro lavoro. Andate avanti con coraggio, con la gioia di evangelizzare.
The other appointments of Pope Francis on Monday included a meeting with the prefect of the Dicastery for Causes of Saints, Cardinal Marcello Semeraro, the Secretary General of the General Secretariat for the Synod, Cardinal Mario Grech, and the Ordinary of the Italian Diocese of Castellaneta, Bishop Sabino Inussi, and Monsignor Salvatore Romero, also from Italy in Noto Diocese. The Holy Father on Thursday morning also received in audience a delegation from the Archabbess of San Martino in Hungary. The Vatican on Monday published the message of Pope Francis for the World Day of the Sick, in which he emphasizes how suffering can become an occasion for a transformative encounter with God. signed on January 14th at the Archbasilica of St. John Lateran, the Holy Father pointed to presence, gift, and sharing as profound parts of providential companionship during times of trial. He also addresses all those who are ill or who care for the suffering, telling them that their journey together is a sign for everyone, a hymn to human dignity, and a song of hope. The Holy Father emphasized the fact that God's first way of being close is through presence, noting that suffering becomes an occasion for a transformative encounter, the discovery of a solid rock to which we can hold fast amid the storms of life. The Pope concluded his message with a special word of gratitude to healthcare workers and those who care for the sick, calling their shared journey a hymn to human dignity and a song of hope. The World Day of the Sick is traditionally celebrated on February 11th, the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. The Malian government has announced plans to stop subsidizing education in all Catholic schools in the West African country, a move that has left charities that are currently supporting educational institutions in the country in a dilemma. The Malian government said last year that the 80% subsidy for the salaries of teachers in Catholic schools would be dropped at the start of the 2024-2025 academic year, a move which, after negotiations between the two parties, has now been postponed until the start of the 2025-2026 academic year. According to the Catholic Charity Aid to the Church in Need, cutting subsidies to Catholic schools in Mali spells danger for the vastly Muslim country, where Catholic schools play an important role in the development and interreligious dialogue. In the face of these challenges, Aid to the Church in Need is appealing for prayer so that a solution may be found for the future. It argues that the Church in Mali needs support in this struggle surrounding the formation of young people and the building of a peaceful world. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
Reports from the Democratic Republic of Congo say rebels from the M23 movement took control of the eastern city of Goma on Monday morning after heavy fighting with the Congolese soldiers and their allies from the Southern African Development Community. The United Nations Peacekeeping Force reported on Sunday that 13 of its troops were killed and many more were wounded in the fighting to capture Goma. South Africa lost 9 soldiers with many more wounded. The government of the Democratic Republic of Congo said on Monday that it had broken diplomatic ties with Rwanda and that its troops would continue to defend Goma. The president of South Africa, Cyril Ramaphosa, has signed into law the expropriation bill which authorizes state organs to take land and other properties from private owners in the public interest, but in fair and equitable compensation, and how this is to be done. A statement issued by the presidency at the weekend said the new law repeals the Apartheid-era Expropriation Act of 1975, which was used by the apartheid government to dispossess black South Africans of all their land. Humanitarian agencies in the Darfur region of Sudan have reported that rebels of the paramilitary rapid support forces, the RSF, attacked El Fasha Hospital on Friday, killing 70 people and wounding many more. The rebels also attacked a displaced people's camp known as Abu Shouk, killing 8 people and injuring dozens.
The African Synod, the Church Alive in Africa Today.
Hello and welcome to the program. I am Festus Tarawali. In this edition, we bring you an exclusive interview with Cardinal Stephen Breslin, the newly installed Archbishop of Johannesburg in South Africa. Pope Francis appointed the former Archbishop of Cape Town as Archbishop of Johannesburg in October after accepting the resignation of Archbishop Buti Joseph Tagale upon reaching the age limit for holding that office. Cardinal Bristling, who has just been re-elected as spokesperson of the Southern African Catholic Bishops Conference, was installed on Saturday during Holy Mass at St. Benedict's College in Bedfordview in Gauteng. The communications officer of the conference, Sheila Purish, caught up with the Cardinal earlier on Monday and began by asking him about the events of the past weekend.
Cardinal Stephen Bristling, first and foremost, congratulations on the installation and as well as taking possession of the cathedral. It's been quite a busy weekend for you. In a nutshell, how do you feel about this weekend?
Thanks very much, Sheila. Indeed, as you say, it was a very busy weekend, a very hectic weekend, but a very beautiful weekend as well. I was really overwhelmed by the support and the encouragement that I've received from the people of the Archdiocese of Johannesburg. And the installation on Saturday, I'm not quite sure how many thousands of people were there, but it was really big. And just the joyfulness of it, the sense of celebration, the sense of being church together in all its diversity. And yet here we were united in giving praise and reverence to God and simply rejoicing in our faith. The installation at the cathedral, when I took possession of the cathedral, was a very solemn occasion. Again, it was very well attended. The cathedral was packed to capacity. And again, there was just this sense of joyfulness of, I was so impressed with the singing of people and also the way in which the responses of the Mass were given. And it just felt, that I was at home. And I think that's the thing about being Catholic. It doesn't matter where you are in the world, what nationality you are, but the church is your home. And we've got to keep on working to make sure that everybody who is striving to serve God, living the Catholic faith, must feel at home.
Thank you. And speaking of feeling at home, there were so many remarks that were quite similar. Yes, you are very new in the Archdiocese. You haven't really met all the priests, but the realities are the same throughout the region, the SACBC region. And we're talking about the racial divides, for example, where you have a certain race attending the Eucharist or Mass together, not mixing with other races. And then you also have the crime, the levels of poverty, high levels of unemployment, which Archbishop Tlhali mentioned in his homily. And again, the Apostolic Nuncio to Southern Africa also mentioning that the role of the Archbishop is to unite. What are your words in the midst of all these challenges that the Church faces until today?
You're quite correct, of course, that we, as a bishop's conference, as a whole country, we do indeed face particular problems that are common. And of course, each local church also has its own particular challenges or difficulties. For the country, it is absolutely true that we remain a very divided country in many respects on the racial lines. And I think, first of all, we should recognize that this is not surprising after so many years of apartheid and colonialism. On the other hand, I think we should also recognize that there is progress as well. I think that we mustn't just throw the baby out with the bathwater. We must also recognize that when we see young people, for example, who go to school together, who socialize together, you see them walking along the street, laughing and chatting together. So there are signs of hope. I think for the older generation, it becomes much more difficult in many respects. I don't think it's always about bad will or anything like that. It's just because people are socially uncomfortable with each other. And therefore, we tend to be very polite with each other. We've got to work at this and continue to work at it. And I think that one of the biggest things and the most important things is that we really try to strive within our parishes to break down these barriers and to work together to bring people into the family of the church that transcends cultural differences and language differences. And again, I think in some parishes there is progress in this, where there are family days and special celebrations that they have that help to break down what is really the social interaction among people. The issues of poverty in South Africa are absolutely heartbreaking, first of all, and this is an enormous problem because As I said either yesterday or at the installation on Saturday, you know, the difficulty for me is that we've become accustomed to living with poverty and to seeing people living in shacks. And somehow it's just become part of the landscape as a sort of natural phenomenon. The fact of the matter is that this poverty and the level of poverty in our country should outrage us. We should all be seeing this. This is a scandal. It is unacceptable. But we've somehow just become very blasé about it. So I think, again, this is something that we've really got to work at, to see the reality of people who are unemployed, who are living in dire poverty, way below the subsistence rate. And we've got to work at it and saying, how do we as a country change this? And we cannot work in silos. We've got to work together for the common good. So that means as churches, ecumenically, interfaith, work with government. Government must work with other political parties, because the problem is simply so great that we can't just imagine that one group by themselves will be able to resolve it. So one of the most important things for me is to say that we must get out of this mentality of working in silos and try to work together for the common good.
There was also a lot of mention about the role of the laity as well as the digital era which we're living in. And that brings me to my next question, which is, of course, we've just celebrated the Jubilee of Communication at the Vatican. Unfortunately, we couldn't be there because of the plenary this time. And you've just been re-elected the Communication Liaison Bishop for the ACCBC and spokesperson. What are your words with regards to the role of the laity, especially in the digital era?
Thank you. The laity obviously have a very, very important role to play, and hopefully through the synodal process, the Church is going to rediscover this role and really to instill, I think, and to encourage people in the understanding that through baptism we are all meant to be missionaries. And priests, deacons, consecrated persons, and the laity are all called to the mission of the Church to proclaim Christ to people, to celebrate the sacraments, and to reach out to those who are in need, to have what Pope Francis referred to as that fraternal awareness that sometimes or very often has become dormant. The fact of the matter is that social media opens up so many opportunities for lay people to proclaim their faith, to share their faith with other people. I think people must be very conscious when using social media that it's meant to be something positive. And if we start denigrating people, if we start slandering people referring to people in a superior way because they don't agree with our particular standpoint, then we're not evangelizing anymore. We must enter into rational debate, calm debate, and a debate of acceptance that there are differences among people, and, you know, that we have that sort of dialogue with people without descending into name-calling or to simply dismissing people, muddying their names. So I think that that's very important. But I think another aspect of social media that is important is that we don't become an anonymous church, you know, where people are just communicating through social media. Personal presence to each other is very important, and personal encounter is very important. So we mustn't lose that, because if we do lose that, we're losing our sense of community, of oneness, and of belonging to each other.
And then lastly, this coming Saturday, you'll be opening, or rather inaugurating, the Jubilee Year here in the Archdiocese of Johannesburg. It is a year of hope, pilgrims of hope. That's what we are called for. What are your words, and what sort of hope are you bringing to the Archdiocese of Johannesburg in the midst of everything that's happening, the tensions between the locals and the migrants' communities? The list goes on. We've just spoken about poverty. We've spoken about inequality. We've spoken about the racial divides. But there's just a lot happening, and this is a year of hope. What hope are you bringing as the new Archbishop?
I think, you know, the most important thing is that we really try to see people as people and not to see them as belonging to a particular racial group or ethnic group or language group, but just to recognize that we are all human beings, all struggling in our own different ways. and that the way forward is to try to accompany people, to give support to people, to journey together as people. So I think if, you know, that is what gives us hope. If we can help people to see the humanity of the other person, then I think that we are on the road to a better society, and that that would give us a great deal of hope. We face many challenges in South Africa, in the Archdiocese of Johannesburg. We face many challenges in the world. But the hope that we are talking about is not an optimism or a shallow type of, oh, well, everything will be all right in the end. Our hope lies in Jesus Christ, and our hope lies in the fact that Christ is working throughout the world. His Spirit is moving the world. We must simply be the cooperators with God's Holy Spirit to accept that we are co-creators with Jesus Christ, and that we are working for societal change to make our world a better place, a world that is more equitable, a world that is more just, a world that is more accepting of the humanity and the human dignity of each and every person.
Cardinal Blieslin, thank you so much for your time. Any last remarks?
I wish all of your listeners God's blessings, and I hope that this year will be a year of great encouragement to you, that you may find hope even as you face many struggles and problems. God bless you.
That was the newly installed Archbishop of Johannesburg, Cardinal Stephen Blieslin, speaking there to Sheila Furish. And that's all for this edition. Till the same time next week, I am Festus Tarawali.
And now, our feature Millennium Appointment. A two-day summit, codenamed Mission 300 Africa Energy Summit, opened in the Tanzanian city of Dar es Salaam on Monday. It is attended by more than 1,800 people, who include 25 African heads of state and government, business leaders, development partners, and experts. The purpose of the summit is to discuss reforms and actions to expand access to reliable, affordable, and sustainable electricity to 300 million people on the African continent by 2030. Electricity is crucial for development and job creation. The summit is sponsored by the African Development Bank, the World Bank, and other global partners. Tanzania's President Samia Suluhu Hassan welcomed the participants this way.
The Africa Energy Summit represents a critical junction in our drive toward the 2030 goal of connecting 300 million African people to electricity. As we reflect on advancing energy access for Africa's development, Tanzania is proud to be at the forefront of this energy transformation. Looking to the future, Tanzania is positioned to play a key role in Africa's energy transition and the development of the fourth generation technologies. As Africa takes bold steps to fulfill its ambitious development goals, ensuring access to energy is paramount to achieving those goals. Let us now commit to play our part in ensuring Africa meets the energy needs of its people. During this summit, together, we reinforce our ambitious vision in the Dar es Salaam Energy Declaration and our national energy compacts. These commitments will guide us as we work towards connecting an additional 300 million Africans to electricity by 2030. Together, we can create a future where across our vast continent, energy transforms lives, powers industries, and fuels vibrant economies. Once again, welcome to Tanzania. Karibuni sana.
According to statistics provided by the African Union, nearly 600 million people in Africa lack electricity. These individuals use either kerosene or generators to light their homes. These sources are not only expensive, but also polluting, and thus perpetuating a vicious circle of poverty and environmental degradation. Africa is experiencing a rapid population growth that requires a rapid increase of jobs for young people. Job creation requires a vast amount of energy. If there are no tangible solutions to the energy problem, the number of people without electricity and without jobs will continue to grow, and may pose serious political, social, and health challenges on the continent tomorrow. For many decades, the power sector in Africa has faced numerous challenges, which include low access rates, lack of maintenance, lack of investment, non-cost reflective taxes, unaffordable subsidies, and lack of financial sustainability. Experts in the energy industry have indicated that the provision of electricity to millions of Africans will only succeed with the collective efforts of governments, private sector stakeholders, and international partners. Governments must lead by implementing critical reforms to make the energy sector more efficient. Private sector participation is crucial for addressing the energy challenges, but to do so, it must receive incentives from governments. The private sector is already playing an important role in expanding renewable energy access. The experts are also calling upon participants at the Energy Summit in Dar es Salaam to put their stress more on solar energy and its distribution. Solar is less expensive because it is a natural resource available in all African countries. Its distribution is also cheap because it can be localized in smaller areas. It can also be generated in homes with the installation of small solar energy panels. The summit ends on Tuesday, January 28th, with the signing of the Dar es Salaam Energy Declaration, which will commit African governments to accelerate energy access, to promote renewable energy adoption, and to attract private investment. And with that, we come to the end of this week's edition of Millennium Appointment. This has been Johnny Baptist Tumusime.
You are tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. We shall be back with you again at the same time tomorrow. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.